I guess you call this the penultimate class here, second from last. And nothing ends. Nothing really ends. Today's class was the most beautiful class I've ever experienced. I don't even know how to describe it. But the energy, whatever you want to call this, loves you guys so much. It is indescribable. It just loves you. It loves you the way your mother never did. And most of you are here because of that. I mean, they all tried in their own way to take care of business, but it's hard to love, and it's hard as a human being to know how to do it, especially when you're young. So we fail our children mostly. And Rudy told me that he was reparenting me, and I never fully understood it, but I do now. We just need to be in touch with that love, which you would call mother's love. What is mother's love? It's this indescribable essential creative core of being. And we all hunger for it, and we all get a little taste of it, sometimes more than that. Never enough, never as much as we deserve or want. And no one is at fault. So blaming your mother or your father or anybody for not getting what you want is a complete waste of your time and putting blame in all the wrong places. Because nobody knows how to do it. Mothers don't know how to do it. Fathers don't know how to do it. Nobody. And then if you're lucky, you meet somebody, a teacher like Rudy, who has mother and father within him. And they only have that because of grace, because something opened up. If you met Rudy's mother, you knew he was not parented well at all. His father disappeared, his mother was God knows what. She was literally a burlesque queen and an alcoholic and on and on and on and on, and the most difficult woman I've ever seen in my life. And Rudy, in his great wisdom, brought her into his business and had her sit next to him in the store where he worked every day. If you want a test of your capacity as a human being to overcome lack of mother love, there was Ray sitting there all the time. Tough and mean-spirited, and I love this woman. I really loved Ray. I just loved her. She represented everything in life one needs to get past. And Rudy did it. He worked every minute of his life. If you had to sit next to this person, you either died, or you felt endlessly oppressed, or you felt enlightened. And he chose enlightenment. She was really a piece of work. And I really did love her, because I saw what she represented. And the love I felt for her was completely returned, which was kind of amazing, because she responded to love. God knows what her parenting was all about, but, you know, love is a tricky thing. It's very hard, even when you love someone, to feel it, to bring it into play. It's like, you know you love them, why are you having problems? Why can't you find this thing you know you have? And there's a million reasons, and I don't think any of them are worth noting exactly. You can go to shrinks for it, and they may help. But I do know, sitting still and letting go of all of your reasons and all of your stuff, and just settling in, begins to open this doorway to what you might call mother's love. The most amazing thing is to discover how much you're loved. And the next most amazing thing is to discover how much you reject that. I described this once long ago, a vision I had of seeing Christ on the top of a hill, and I was climbing the hill, and he was radiating so much love for me that I turned and ran as fast as I could down the hill. I couldn't bear it. It was annihilating love. And I think that's how many people experience love. It's annihilation. They can drown in the love. Or they can die not getting enough. But we are all going to be annihilated by love. Every one of us. And you won't believe how grateful you'll be. You will not believe it. Take me. Destroy everything but the love, because the love cannot be destroyed. Cannot be destroyed. It's the ultimate. I'll tell you a story. A year ago, you know, the musical Ghost died on Broadway, ended in London, and the touring production that was going to happen in the Netherlands fell apart, and it was dead. And this thing we had worked 7 years to give life to was over, and it was so painful. And as you all know, it had enormous repercussions, one of which was this discovery that I had no more income and that I could no longer support the magnitude of the life that I had been living. And part of that is, you know, letting go of all of this, and in a way, all of you. Although, as I say, it never really dies and it never really goes away, but this physical manifestation will go away. But last night, so this last couple days, Blanche and I were in Schenectady, New York. I never thought I would ever be in Schenectady, New York. But they were doing the first night of the American tour of Ghost, which is going to have a year and a half more, who knows, traveling all across America, perhaps all of North America. It was resurrected out of nothing. Out of nothing, this thing came back to life. And it was a fitful battle. I didn't even know how fitful. They told me last night that 8 weeks ago it looked like it was going to die again. And I don't know where these new investors came from to pump money into it, but they did. And so I sat in this theater last night, this huge, huge theater in Schenectady called Proctor's. And I actually watched a performance, a rehearsal the night before, and then a yesterday matinee, and then last night. And here's the interesting story about Ghost, which is now, Blanche pointed out, 30 years since it arose inside. It came out of nowhere and it appeared in my life. And I just typed up story and reworked it and reworked it and spent years getting it into form, and suddenly people wanted to turn it into a movie. You all know the story. But sitting in the theater last night, and the music starts, and the name Ghost comes on the screen, and the audience is applauding and cheering. I don't know why. And the curtain goes up, and this 2.5 hours of love, which poured into me, into my fingers, onto a page, got rewritten a million times, got turned into a movie that people loved. Ended up, I mean, a movie's a movie, it's still on, you know, in your DVD collection maybe, but it's over. It's definitely over. And then this new version of it came as a musical, which I didn't want to do, but said okay, finally, that there was a way to do it. 7 years of giving life to it. It has a life. It goes into theaters. I'm watching people respond to this. I remember in Manchester, the night that it opened, and I've talked about it, the response to the show at the end was so unlike anything I'd ever heard. It was screaming and foot stomping and cheering and, you know, whistling, and it was everything. I was going, wow, wow, this was so amazing. And then, you know, I won't go into all the sad sob story of New York Times critics, but it came to an end. And I really absorbed that end. It was fine. I lived with it, you know, because things do come to an end. And I've done a lot of movies, so movies have, they come out, they're gone, they're done. But this one had a life. And then last night, we're sitting in the theater, and it's alive. It is breathing. It is amazing. The only problem is, and this happened on Broadway too, the woman who played Oda Mae had so exhausted herself in all of the rehearsals and in the dress rehearsal on Friday and then the performance on in the afternoon, we didn't know if she'd make it through the show. Her voice was going, it was just going. And these are all young people. They're all young. They're non-equity cast, it's called, meaning non-union, cheap. But they are the most extraordinarily talented, vibrant, excited young group of people you have ever seen in your life. They are so thrilled to be doing this show, and they are communicating that, and I'm sitting in the audience, and this love, wave upon wave upon wave of love and loss and desire to connect and desire to say I love you to somebody, that somebody would actually fight their way back from the other side, to the mythic journey of that, to just be able to say I love you, I've always loved you. And it's so powerful. And I'm sitting there, and my heart is just breaking. It's like this thing that started like this, you know, typing on a page, is filling a theater with this love. And at the end of the show, the roar of the crowd was just like Manchester, exactly the same, stomping, whistling, screaming, applauding, loving, loving, everybody on their feet, loving the love that they just got, loving the reception of love, the mother's love, really, I mean, that's all I can call it, that absolute love, unconditional, that's just pouring out at you. And the last line of the show, which so epitomizes what this is about, the love inside, you take it with you. That's the message. And it's true, and people feel that. They feel it. The love inside, you take it with you. But even more importantly, the love inside, you live with it every day. If there's love inside you, it's yours. It doesn't have to go anywhere. It just bathes you in itself. Yes, you can share it. Yes, the joy is in sharing it. But there's joy in just knowing it, just having it, just letting it fill you. And I felt so filled last night with the love that I put in the world, I was a receptacle for a force that moved through me, but I had opened to that force. It went into the world, and where did it go? Right back to me. That's how it works. You put it out, and it comes back. Not always directly. Sometimes it dies. It goes completely dead, dormant. You think it's all over. You'll never feel it again. And then, wow, wow. They're giving it back to me. You know? And I'm sitting in that theater. I'm just one of 3,000 people. But I'm like, what a gift. And where did it come from? Well, I'm just part of a cycle. But I am a receptor as well as a generator. And we're all receptors and we're all generators. Every single one of us, sometimes on a very big scale, sometimes on a very intimate scale, it doesn't matter. What matters is the love. You put it out, it will be back. And if it doesn't come back the way you want it, it won't matter, because when you put it out, what's flowing through you? Love. Who, if it doesn't come back, you're still filled with it. It's yours. It's always yours. But if you're not generating love, if you're not putting it into the world, if you're just waiting for someone to come, like your mother, to come back and give you that love she didn't give you, you're going to be really, really frustrated. Because she ain't there. She wasn't able to do it then, and she's not able to do it now, and no one else is exactly able to do it except you. You are able to do it. Why are you able to do it? Because you've been sitting here for however many years, 15 years we've been teaching this class in this room, 15 years love has been pouring out to you, and you got it. And if you don't have it, let me just tell you, there was no one in this room today, nobody, who wasn't re-engineered in some way to be a complete and absolute receptacle for love. I did not work with one person who didn't get it. Is that too many negatives? I absolutely know. I know that each one of you is a perfect receptacle for and container of this love. After the show last night, we went to a party they had, and it's, you know, we have an hour and a half ride, almost 2 hours, and it's now 11 o'clock, and it turns into 12:30, and, you know, Blanche and I are really tired, but we walk into this party, and I don't know these kids all that well. I've met them at one rehearsal, and I'm, you know, they said, would you like to make a speech, and you know me, so I just talked to them, made a speech, and every one of them was like, oh my God, you know, but I tried to tell them, you guys are conduits for this amazing thing, and it's going to go out to the auditorium, and it's going to come back to you every night. You are going to get this wave of love. And you could see them on stage last night. I mean, these are young kids getting these huge, thunderous standing ovations. They're knocked out by it. They really are, and they're just filled with it. So they all walked into the party filled with love, and I'm filled with love, and the hug fest of every one of us just loving each other and grateful to each other for all that's been exchanged. It's so much what life can be. It's such a beautiful expression of how this can work. And so I'm walking around to each of these kids, giving them these huge, grateful hugs, thanking them for the amount of time and energy and effort, one, that they put into that show, and for the year or more that they're going to have to do going to more places like Schenectady, you know, all around the country. I mean, some great places, you know, they're going to Chicago and Baltimore, and I mean, they're going to good places, but they're also going to, you know, Rochester and Buffalo, and, you know, I don't know those towns really, but they're going to be everywhere, and they're going to be singing their hearts out. And they're going to learn how to do it. They're going to learn how to modulate their voices so they don't blow them out in the first performance. They're going to learn how to have stamina on stage. They're going to learn how to feed people in ways that they have never known before. They're going to learn how to receive love and energy. And audiences everywhere are going to walk out of a theater going, what was that? That felt good. That was really great. Wow, I love that. Which is what they were doing last night. They were just feeling like great. And look, I've seen this thing 100,000 times, it feels like. I never get bored. I get energized every single time, just like this class. You know, what are you doing? You're coming and just sitting somewhere over and over, and there's this guy in an orange shirt, you know, sitting there saying nothing. And yet you drive and you come and you try to go to get this thing. What is this thing that we're getting? It's so simple. It's the thing we didn't get. The thing we didn't get. And we're all hungry. And you can get it every day and every night for the rest of your life, and almost will still never be enough. And then when you leave this world, my supposition is you'll have it forever in a way that you can't even imagine. If this feels good, just wait till what happens. Our director, Matthew Warchus, did this thing at the end of the show, which I was so grateful for. It was his idea, and I thought it was really beautiful, but at the end, we just have Sam and Molly dancing on stage alone. Well, the audience is at this point on their feet, and they've stopped applauding because they're just watching. And the back of the stage has these words that come up. It says, be here now. And it does it twice. Be here now. And the last now just goes like that, and then blackout. And the audience goes, wow! And they yell and they scream. They don't even know what the message is. They don't even know that they got it, but they got it. They got it. And so here's a transmission that is completely free of the creator or any person who did anything. It just was and is. And it fills the space of place auditorium upon auditorium until it doesn't anymore. I was telling Blanche, at some point in the 80, I'm going to wish I could go somewhere and just watch another production of this. But the great thing is, high schools and colleges and amateur groups will probably do their own versions. And I have a feeling I'll be sitting in some auditorium, maybe with Talia. Maybe she'll be up there. I don't know. I hope for her sake. She's not an actress. But I'll be sitting there, and it will suddenly come back again. It'll come back as this gift. So I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm trying to make this about us. If you allow love to flow through you, and you impart it into the space of manifested form, into the world that we live in, if you put it out there, it circulates around, and at the moment that you need it, and I don't know why I needed it so much, but I can tell you that this weekend was one of those weekends where I was very much in need, it comes back. When you need it, it comes back to you. And you'll find it. Who knows where it will come from or how it will come, but you will get it. You will get what you need. And this love returns, and it is like, because I can only tell you, the universe knows how hard it is to be human. It knows how imperfect we are, every one of us. It knows the challenge of getting up every day, of not having enough money, of not having the life you exactly dreamt you would have, of all of the struggles and all the difficulties. It knows that you are going through that. Every one of you. Every one of us. And it loves you for being part of its creative team, if you will, for playing your part. You know, in Ghost, half of the amazing things that happen are all off stage. You know, it's the stagehands doing work that you wouldn't believe. Learning the show in 2 weeks. I don't know how they did it. The lighting guys, there's so many people working, and they don't get celebrated. They do not get applause from the auditorium. They don't get anything. They get a paycheck. And most of us are the guys backstage. Most of us are not in the front of the footlights. We're backstage and nobody's applauding. Nobody. But if you listen really quietly, deep inside, there is something looking at you truly. And doing that. I cannot tell you how much you guys are loved. I cannot tell you. I could sit here today and teach this class with my heart breaking and so much love pouring out for you. For you. And it really, really cares about you. It really cares about where you're hurting. It really cares about where someone didn't do something for you when you were 3 years old that locked you up. It wants to undo that. It goes into that. I can feel. I sit here and I work and I go. I know exactly where that moment is in you that you got shut down. And I go to that moment, and it's from your mom and your dad and the kid across the street. And it's everything. Something did a number on you, on all of us, and it has to be undone. And this work unravels, unwraps, and recreates and refreshes your being. That's what it does, and we need to do that. And some of you sit here and say, please do it, help me. Some of you sit here and go, prove this to me, even after all these years, honestly. And some of you go, no way, no way. I'm going to carry this misery with me as long as I live. I deserve it. I own it. I have earned it. Well, that's fine. You know, truly, some of us find that as a badge of honor, to carry our unhappiness everywhere we go. Who am I to say no to that? If that's your joy in the world, go for it. You know, it's really what you want. And it serves on some strange level. It does serve. It doesn't have to be that way. You actually have a right to be loved. And not only do you have a right to be loved, you are loved. You are, in the most unbelievably profound and celebrated way. Something in you is saying every day, thank you for doing this. Thank you for getting up and whatever it is, driving to the supermarket and purchasing a can of tomato soup. You know? Something's working because of that. This thing flows because of that. If you didn't have hunger, if you didn't have pain, if you did, you know, what would Tylenol do without you? You know, it would really be a problem if you didn't have occasional headaches or worse. You know, the world works on all of these things: pleasure, pain, good and evil, all of that stuff. It's part of the human drama. The drama is drama. Why it happens, when you find out, tell me. That it happens, we know is true. Is it worth it? This is what I come to all the time. I come to it regularly. For me, thinking about imagining being with my granddaughter blows it all out. All I know is it's enough. I would go through heaven and hell to have that. And sometimes it comes down, as Rudy would put it, to a Hershey bar. It would be enough to have, I don't actually like Hershey bars anymore, but a Godiva bar or something like that. Blanche has pockets full of M&Ms, like M&Ms. They actually are worth incarnating for. You know, to come into this world to taste that is worth it. Can you imagine never knowing what that tastes like? It's a sadness, you know? And so we do. We get ourselves born so we can touch all this. And then, of course, there's making love, you know? Wow, where did that come from? And everything that's so amazing about life, we get to experience. And we get to experience what we call the bittersweet, you know? The loss of every bit of this. The tasting of it, the having of it, and the leaving of it. All part and parcel of the one totality. It has to keep circulating through. I don't know why, but it does. It's how it's built. So we come in, we want, we get, we lose. Boom. Over and over and over and over. It will not change. And either you will make peace with that, or you will be at war with what is. Being at war with what is suffering. Accepting what is peace. You know, I've been going through all of these upheavals about leaving this place and about leaving you guys. For some reason, in the last 5 days, it started to completely go away. I don't know if it will stay away, but it felt better not walking around mourning the loss. It felt better just going, okay, this is what it is. And for some reason, in that acceptance, these huge swells of love have emerged. And may continue to emerge or not. I mean, that's the incredible thing about life. You don't know. You don't know what's next. So am I going to love this moment? Yes. Because it's happening and it's wonderful. Then the next moment comes and it's terrible. What do you do with that? Well, I mean, I can't say you love being in pain or love being in a state of loss or grief or unhappiness. You don't love it. What do? You go through it. You experience it. You suffer it. Sometimes that suffering is long-lived. I mean, you can have months and years of it. But you just go, okay, this is what it is. And in the middle of deep suffering and grief, someone gives you a glass of water. Appreciate it. That's how you get through it. Through a glass of water, a glass of orange juice. That's the way you get through life. Simple, simple moments. Joy and suffering, it will all keep coming one way after another, in waves or in dribbles, whatever it wants to do. You're going to have all of that. You would not have life if you didn't have all of that. It's what we know. And what we know is we would rather have it than not have it. And you will pay a price for having it, because that's how it works. The universe felt you can't know beauty without ugliness. You can't know joy without sadness. So you have to have it all. We all do. And, you know, I'm not saying anything new here. It's been said from the beginning of time. But even so, we have to hear it, and we have to know it, and we have to know it when we're going through it. Because while we're going through it, we feel lost, we feel disconnected, nobody understands us, nobody gets us, we're really alone, really alone. If you're alone with your mind, Rudy said you're in hell. If you're alone with yourself, you're in heaven. Your mind is this, I talked about it last week, it's a computer. Yourself is presence and being itself. It's what animates you, it gives you life, and as I've been saying throughout this talk, it loves you. If you get caught in your mind and you can't get out of it, you will suffer. If you can quiet down and go into yourself, into your heart, you will be renewed and refreshed, reawakened, reanimated, relieved of all of your suffering. That's all it is. That's all it is. And every one of us has a capacity for that, and almost nobody does it. Almost nobody. But you guys are regulars here. You really make this effort, you make the commitment, you have a right to this thing, you have earned it. Own it. Own it. Embrace it. Love your journey. Forgive yourself for all of your crap, because everyone has crap. Don't beat yourself up. Because unless you like to, it's not good. It's not a good thing. No, if you like to, go for it. But if you cannot do it, great. And I want you to know, you know, there's this thing called Shaktipat, which Rudy gave, and Nityananda and Muktananda, I mean, all these Rudy students give Shaktipat. Shaktipat is, what is it? What is Shaktipat? It's actually exquisite conscious love. That's what it is. Shaktipat is the giving of love indiscriminately, if you will, but that's not quite right. It's unconditionally would be better. Giving it to everyone who sits in front of you, who comes into your point of view, giving it. In a classroom, it's really intensified, and I can look at people and I can direct energies, if you will, but it's really nothing more than a lot of love. It's like a shot of vitamin B12 or something like that. It's an incredible injection of the very thing you need to go to the very place that needs it, that animates your being, that Shaktipat. You think you have to be a teacher to give it. All I want to tell you is that's not true. All you have to be is you. All you have to do is choose to love the people in your life. Whoever arrives in your life, I don't care who it may be, they're yours. And you can reject them, dismiss them, ignore them, or love them. And if you choose consciously to love them, that love that you put out for them will be the greatest gift that will ever come back to you. Shaktipat is the giving of conscious love. That love, as it comes back to you, will give you more love to give to more people. And more people will come into your life because they will sense, ooh, there's love here. There's love. Last night, I hugged so many people who do not know me really, who I don't know really, and the amount of love that went injected into each person was so powerful, I know they'll never forget it, and they don't have a clue to what's happening. Not a clue. You can do that. It's not a gift. It's really not a gift. It's a conscious act. You choose to be the transmitter of love that's not even your love. It's just something you've opened to that floods through you and out of you anytime you ask it to. And if you don't ask it to and you don't make yourself available to it, then it doesn't. That's why it's called conscious love. It's conscious love because it's not just something that happens. It's something you say, I would like this to happen. I am available to this love. I am open. Or in Rudy's terms, help me to surrender. Surrender to what? To this. And what is this? Joy and love. Transmit it. Give it to each other. Give it to the people around you. Again, you don't have to stand on the street corner and do it. You just stand wherever you are, and whoever comes into your purview, they're the ones you give it to. You don't have to have a football stadium full of people. You don't have to do that. You don't have to have five people. It can be one person. It's enough. It's enough. Let that love flow and flow and flow. And what will happen with that love? It will return to you. And so for your entire life, day to day to day to day, you will be bathed in love. And when the time comes to leave this world, you will enter the ocean of love. And that's the journey we're on, you know? So do your part. You all have a wonderful role to play, or you wouldn't be hearing these words. You know, you're here because something nominated you for this role, for this possibility. You each have a capacity, and I mean each of you, to do this. Take it out there, fill the world with it, or fill the immediate space of your life with it. Do it to each other. Love each other. And you will live in love. I don't know what more to say. Thank you.
Basically, thank you and your gift for communication, because it is a gift that you really can gift everybody as far as communicating the teachings, and in a way that I don't know anybody else who can do it the way you do it. I really love you for it. And I know you for a long time.
Yeah, no, I know. We've known each other for decade upon decade upon decade. You know, I don't know what it is either. And I know as when I was teaching the class today, I thought, boy, whatever is working knows what it's doing. It knows it, and it really is doing it well. And there was no ownership at all.
You have a gift of teaching this in a clarity that people get, and I somehow wish you could, you know, expound it more in the world.
It's in the world. Not,
you know, yeah, it's in the world, but, you know, just publishing book form or whatever.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm transcribing all the talks. The talks are on YouTube. People can pick it up if they want. If I had more people here, where would you be sitting? You know, there's no more room. So, no, it works as it's supposed to work. I don't have a hunger. I mean, my audience comes through Ghost, really. But I really do love. I love that it somehow has found an expression here and it works. You know, that's all of us do. We find our own version of expressing it. And everyone finds their own level of eloquence or ineloquence. It doesn't matter, because you find your truth, you find your expression. And, you know, everybody is who they're supposed to be. You know, and I find that I'm very grateful to be allowed to play this role in this particular play. You know, I'm going to walk off stage just like everybody else. You know, when you get off stage, I don't know who you are, but you're not this. And, you know, it's... To own this kind of thing, and you see people, spiritual people, who do that, and it's really not attractive. You know, you don't want to own any of this. It's like a water fountain saying, look at me. look what I can do. I can make water flow like this. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. You're just something.
You're doing what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. So you learn that.
I'm thanking your gift.
And I thank you, and I send it right to where it goes, you know. The woman who plays Oda Mae, when they scream when she comes on stage at the end for the curtain call, she goes, you know, like football players, like she points straight up. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. You point right to where it comes from. Don't own this stuff. How can you own the air? How can you own the love? You can't. It just passes through. Okay? Okay, guys, Blanche and I are going away for 2 weeks. See our new house, see if any of our furniture will fit in it. Then we'll be back here for the ultimate class, which will be on the 6th of October. I suspect people who haven't been here for a while will show up, so sit forward so there's room for everybody, and we'll have a class. And don't fetishize it into something, oh my God, the last class or this or that. It's just another class. And what will happen from here on in, who knows? Who knows? But that's true of everything. So just take it, eat it, move on. Thank you.